Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people at Bustam, and everybody else in between throwing it down. Sunday, bloody Sundays. We pick up the pieces post Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, and the NFL draft. There's a lot of stuff to unpack here this evening. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Baban, will step up, and then we're going to break down every NHL playoff series. The NHL playoffs set to drop the puck on Monday night. You can't beat round one of the NHL playoffs. We can debate and criticize the NHL playoff format. I don't think that it's the smartest thing to have the best teams playing each other in the first round, but it's going to be entertaining hockey, and it's going to be off the hook. Ian Cameron steps up, and then Mo Khan throws it down with us as well as we unpack the National Football League draft, of course, in which we were in attendance in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was a great time in Sin City. I want to thank everybody that came down. I want to thank MGM. I want to thank the Grid. And, you know, we'll get into the names and all this, but it's going to be hard. I don't want to, like, leave people out, but I pretty much do think I got everybody. Otto's, smells like Otto's jacket. What's up? Matt via Vancouver / St. Louis, Illinois. What's up? Ryan Rules. What's up? Vancouver was in the house. Ryan and his boy. Brandon, St. Louis. Hustler. Andrew Patterson, Chief fan, bunch of Chief fans. We're hanging around with a bunch of Chief fans, and the draft is in Kansas City next year. Who else? Well, not to mention all the wave of like new school Ragers and people. James from Tennessee. Let's go read. Like I said. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to everybody that was in the house. We don't want to leave anybody behind. Rager left behind. But hey, listen, it was a wild couple of days in Sin City. We had a great time, and yesterday we really hit the book. Yesterday, like that's when we hit the casino floor hard, and I know our boy Matt was along for the ride. Our boy Ryan Rules was there. It was pretty chaotic. Like, we went over to New York again, and we started playing blackjack, and man, the money was flowing, we'll tell you that. And the money was flowing one way, and it wasn't in my pocket. It was one of those deals where it started off like it didn't seem like it was that bad. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, hey, I think I'm up about $200-$300. I got a lot of chips in my pocket. And next thing I know, man, I'm like dipping down. I'm like, put it this way. It's never a good time, like whenever you're playing blackjack and you have to ask the dealer, excuse me, where's the closest ATM machine? That's never good. Right? Like any time you go into a casino and you sit down and you start playing and you have to like get up and excuse yourself to go get some more money, you've got a problem. You've got a problem. So we pick up the pieces. We're going to break it down. Mo Khan's going to step up and in. Mo Khan will kick it with us. We'll get into the National Football League draft. Look forward to Mo's comments and thoughts on this. No Texas Longhorn player was taken. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people at Bustam, and everybody else in between. the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Let's do this thing. Shout out to everybody who threw it down with us at the MGM Grand over the weekend. It was off the hook. The draft was great. It was a massive success. We had a great time. Everybody at MGM had a great time. Everybody that came down to party with us had a great time. Everybody that went to the NFL draft had a great time. And listen, I've been to Las Vegas a lot, and I've lived in Las Vegas before, but that was kind of like one of the funnest trips I've ever had to Las Vegas. I wish, you know, listen, we had a great time doing the shows. We got out, and we had some fun. We maximized our hours there. It's Vegas, baby. Vegas. But, like, yeah, it was no negativity in the air at all. It's one of those, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's always attitude in Vegas usually, right? Someone's going to have attitude. Someone's getting shot, right? So, something's going to happen on any typical Saturday night on the Strip as it is. I got to tell you, I think it was, like, less crazy. Like, I don't know, it was just one of those cool, it was like an NFL convention type of deal. Next year is Kansas City, and nothing against Kansas City, but I don't know how the hell, like, how do you go from Vegas to Kansas City? Like, seriously, like, how do you go from Las Vegas having an event, you know, in which, you know, it's beautiful weather, legalized everything, and people just partying their asses off 24 hours a day to Kansas City? What are we going to do? Party at the hotel bar for an hour before it closes at 9 o'clock? Throw it down at the Crown Plaza? We've got problems, but that's not till next year, right? We'll worry about it. So we'll unpack the draft. Mo Khan, former wide receiver Mo Khan, will step up at a TSN radio. Mo's become a regular on our show. Me and Mo go way back, but Mo's a great guest. I enjoy his takes. Ian Cameron will kick it with us. We're getting into all the NHL, NBA basketball. If you tuned into the show yesterday when we were broadcasting live from the MGM Grand with Pharrell and Sharapan and Cam, I said, listen, man, don't write off the Milwaukee Bucks. Oh, Boston this, Boston that. Yeah, Giannis this, Giannis that. Advantage, Milwaukee. Klay Thompson hits a massive three late, wins the game. We break it all down and more. This is Sports Rage. Sunday, bloody Sunday. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Let's roll. Sunday, buddy, Sunday. Late night anger management class. I'm going to start throwing things here soon, too. All right, things are back to normal. I understand we've got an echo on our YouTube channel, but it's being worked on right now, and we appreciate it. So I think it'll be resolved shortly. And I nearly just strangled myself, and somehow I got all tangled up once again here with my headset. But I'm good to go. We're good to go. And once again, we just got off a plane again. It was like last Sunday. We went to the Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers series. And now, of course, Las Vegas, Nevada. We were there for the NFL draft. It was crazy. I'm sure you guys saw on TV. We got Mo Khan, actually. And I got to ask you, Mo, actually, because I didn't see it. I didn't, see what it looked like on TV because I was there. You know what I mean? I saw, I was on the air, all the time when I was there for the most part. So I wasn't actually at the draft. You know what I'm saying? I was at I was at the MGM Grand. We had a great TV studio set up. So I was at the MGM Grand. So I saw, pieces of it, but I was more focused on the actual, the players and whatnot. We were doing our thing, picking winners and stuff and giving picks during the draft. But how did it look on TV? Did it look as cool on TV as it was to actually be there? Because I got to tell you, like I said, I've been to Vegas a lot, and Vegas is a pretty crazy city on just a usual night in Vegas. there's a bunch of fights and people are going to get shot and stuff. It's just going to happen. There's a bunch of alpha males walking around and like running into each other. And there was a big brawl at the MGM last night, actually, after the boxing. Mo, I don't know if you saw, I posted a video. That's what happens when you mess with my boy Cam Stewart's chicken wings. Like, oh, hell broke loose. I heard Stevenson's mother got into it. I don't know. It was one of those boxing things. Classic Vegas weekend, man, like the old days. Big brawl and you know, on the casino floor. I missed the brawl, Ma. I was there, and I saw people running and stuff. And I saw security. like all the security. And there's a lot of security. I saw security all sort of like talking to each other suddenly, like, hey, there's a, you know, then they sort of all go in one direction. And it turned out, yeah, it was a big, the boxer and, like, you know, their crews got into it. Their crew got into it after the fight. But it was, so what did it look like on TV, Mo? What did you think of the draft?
The draft looked spectacular. It felt like it was on steroids by the hoopla, the background, what you had, and the overhead view. They kept on going to an overhead shot, the NFL Network in particular, of the entire draft. And you just saw a deluge of humanity that was there from NFL teams, right? And it was pretty cool. It makes me wonder, Gabe, I know they're going to Detroit next year, or big brand Kansas City next year.
KC next year, Detroit after. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It makes me wonder if Vegas might become a rotation host for the draft,
well,
because of what it brings up as being like a hub for all visitors to come out from all over the world to watch whatever event's happening that weekend.
And that's the thing, Mo. It's being discussed already. It's being discussed. Now, the thing is, they like spreading it around and, like, you know, and then teams bid on it. It's like a Super Bowl now, Mo. It's actually bigger than a Super Bowl because you're not going to get that many people going to the Super Bowl because the Super Bowl's not free. The draft is. So, but it's been brought up. And I said, and it's nothing against Kansas City, but how the hell, like, we're going from Vegas to what? Like I said, like, you go from, like, world-class entertainment to, like, what are we going to do? Like, party at the Crown Plaza Hotel? Well, things got rowdy at the hotel bar at the Marriott last night, I got to tell you. Like, there's not enough room. And another thing is, it's almost like if you're a band or something, though, like, you have a festival. It's like, well, last year we got 980,000 people, and this year we got 140,000 people. Maybe we should go back to the place. Because as you stated, everybody wants to go to Vegas. Even people from KC would rather go to Vegas than have the draft there. You know what I mean? And people from KC told me that. I was hanging with people from KC. I said, no offense, bro, but oh my God, next year the draft's in KC. And they said, yeah, trust me. I said, is it better? Like, is it, you know, am I overreacting? They said, no, you're not. They said, in fact, you'll probably think it's worse than you imagine even. So I'm like, oh my God. But it's funny, I love Detroit. I love Detroit. I'm looking forward to Detroit. I haven't been to Detroit since the Super Bowl when the Seahawks and the but I'm a Michigan fan. Yeah. So I'm a big I'm stoked. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to the Michigan draft, I'll tell you that. It'll be cool. So what'd you think of the draft itself, Mo? I got into it with a guest last week. He said there's no franchise impact players in this draft or no, like, game changers. I said, how the hell do you know? I'm going to find out in years to come. So I also believe, with that being stated, we can't really say winners and losers. We can just sort of give our opinion as far as, you know, what you know, wow, this team got this. And I don't think there's any debate, really, but the New York Jets, bro. The New York Jets, not only to me, had the best draft. They might have the best draft classes ever. Like, the fact that they pretty much got, like, the best player at each position, you could argue. Right? So, I don't know. So, Stingley and Gardner, either way, one and 1A. To me, Garrett Wilson was the best wide receiver on the board. And everybody thought Breece Hall was the best running back on the board. And then you get Jermaine Johnson, that I was shocked. Let's start there, that Johnson actually fell. Dude, I thought he was a top 10 pick. No way did I think he would go, like, if it wasn't top 10, Mo, I thought he'd be top 15 for sure.
Yeah, you know what it was, Gabe? And I was on TSN Radio on Friday, the day after day one, and they asked me the same question, why did Jermaine Johnson fall? It was the case of supply and demand, Gabe, that you saw in the first five picks, all defensive background guys, right? Walker, Hutchinson, Stingley Jr., Sauce, and Kayvon Thibodeau before the first O-lineman went. And once Ikwunanku went afterwards, that opened up the deluge of O-linemen and receivers, which pushed all the defensive players down towards the 20s. You saw Kyrie Elam going to your Buffalo Bills, and then Johnson going to the New York Jets. So I just think what it was just one of those things where if someone picked that player from that position group, it just created a domino effect that we saw. Drake London going to the Falcons created that effect where you saw Garrett Wilson go to the Jets. You saw others going, Jameson Williams going to the Lions and so on and so forth here. So I just think that was the reason why Johnson fell down, because in any other draft year, Johnson is your top 10 player, because in the NFL game, you know very well, it's changed, right? It's a passing league. What do you need? You need NASCAR-like players who are pass rushers, and he fits that prototype that we're looking at right now. And for the New York Jets, there's no question that they hit on getting three top 10 players at their positions. Now the question is on Robert Saleh, can he mold this team to becoming much more improved than what they were last year with what they have now to work with?
And now, as you state, he's got some players now, and I don't expect the Jets to be suddenly great this year or anything like that.
No,
but
no.
Let's say 2-3 years down the road with the players that they have. Now, not all these guys are going to be, you know, slam dunks, but and you know, we didn't even get into Jeremy Ruckert, right, the tight end, who some believe that could be like potentially the best tight end in this class. So you get an Ohio State wide receiver, you get a stud tight end from Ohio State to go to, and now you bring in Breece Hall, who's tough. It's on. Listen, Zach, I didn't like the Zach Wilson pick to second overall. All right, I didn't think he should have went that high, but I'm not discounting the kid. Like, the kid does have talent. He's just, to me, and I said this last year, the kid's got talent, but he's not the type of kid you can just drop on the field and he's going to, like, win the game for you. You've got to give him some talent to work with, and now he does. Now he does have something to work with, so it's an interesting work in progress right now, but, you know, nobody can say that the Jets, like I said, every player that the Jets got, you could argue, like, Jermaine Johnson was a top 10 talent that slipped. Breece Hall was the number one projected back to go off the board. Garrett Wilson was favored to be the top wide receiver to be selected first. A lot of scouts think Jeremy Ruckert is the best tight end.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
In the class. Well, the slam dunk for gangrene.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like us? Bull. We played them the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. Kicking it with Mo Khan. Ian Cameron will join us later. NHL playoffs set to drop the puck on Monday. We're still unpacking the NFL draft. And listen, we were there. It was a crazy week and stuff. So I've got to soak everything in. And then we'll start to get into the NFL futures and stuff. But there were some good football players. I like the pick the Buffalo Bills did, Mo, with James Cook, getting him 63rd overall there. I think that was a good – I think he's a good football player that can help, like, the Bills. A lot of Bills fans wanted the Bills to take Breece Hall with the 25th pick. And I didn't think they were going to do it, and I didn't think that was a smart thing to do either. The Bills, I think they did the right thing with Elam getting the DB. They needed help. You saw what happened when Trey White went down last year, so they get another elite defensive back. But you got to like what the Bills have done, Mo. They've had a good offseason. I think they had a solid draft, too. They picked players, and these players that they picked are going to get an opportunity. opportunity to play right away because the Bills are so maxed out now financially, they need these rookies to produce for them.
Yeah, my favorite player from the Bills draft class is the kid from Baylor, Terrell Bernard, the linebacker. And if you watch any Baylor games, which I'm sure you did, Gabe, during the college season last year, he's a dude out there. He was making tackles. He's got a high football IQ. Love the ability that of his thumping type of tenacity that he has on the football field. And I think this kid over here, if he gets on the football field, can definitely be one of those type of guys that can have an impact for the Buffalo Bills. And I just thought that was a great value pick to get for him at number 89. I think Kyrie Elam, people weren't talking about him as much, given that he didn't have a great year with Florida, given that they were just a terrible football team. But you look back to his game against Jameson Williams and against John Metchie, he locked down those receivers until he got hurt. I didn't think that value for him to go at 26 that he was, or 23, I beg your pardon, at that point, was great value for the Buffalo Bills. So I just thought they did very well with some strong doubles down the gaps for what they drafted from top to bottom.
There were a few players, Stingley as well, they talked about, and he ended up going very high. But there's quite a few guys in the SEC that they said, well, they didn't have the best year this past year, or they didn't, you know, they didn't play hard in every game. They mailed it in at times. But the thing is, Mo, as you stated, if you're a blue-chip guy, you're on LSU, and the coach is getting fired, and it's a big circus going on, and same thing at Florida. Like, you know, things aren't going the way you thought they were going to go when you get there. Eventually, you're going to tap out, right? It's just it's the way it is. For who and for what? They're going to start thinking. And as you stated, whenever Elam played against like big-time players and stuff, he stepped it up, right? He knew. Okay, here we go. And so I think it's just some of these guys sort of drifted. And, you know, I'm not alone in thinking that. I saw one NFL GM. They said, oh, a lot of people are criticizing Stingley for tapping out last year and basically mailing it in with LSU. And this GM said, he said, with that circus, I would have too. That's what he said to GM even. Right, so, like, even GMs know, yeah, listen, there's a circus there. What do you want the kid? Like, yeah, he got disengaged. Okay. You know what I find to be an interesting pick here was Bailey Zappe. Bailey Zappe. Yeah, to the Patriots. Very interesting, isn't it? So if you're Mac Jones, like they're sending you a message that, hey, this job isn't just yours, kid. Right? Like this isn't this, you know, you're not locked in. Because the thing is, Zappy's actually good enough that he can compete for this job. I mean, we're talking about a guy that threw for nearly 6,000 yards, 5,967 yards, 62 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. He set new single FBS records, you know, with this. Joe Burrow had 60, you know, 60 touchdowns. Listen, he played at Western Kentucky. It's a little bit different, but I just found that to be an interesting pick that the Patriots drafted a quarterback that's actually pretty good. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it was fascinating because if you're watching in the lead-up to the draft, the Hey Rookie, Welcome to the NFL lead-up, he was one of the key characters in that whole process. You learned a lot about Bailey Zappe as a quarterback, and that a lot of people doubted him as a guy. Can he throw the deep ball? He's great with their intermediate passes, and that's what the Patriots do so well, whether it's Tom Brady or Mac Jones or whoever's throwing the football, is those intermediate passes. Can you make those completions? Can you make those throws? And Zappe is probably one of the better quarterbacks in this draft class that can do that. And I think Bill Belichick sees something in him that, hey, he may not jump Mac Jones, Gabe. He may not do it, right? But if he's able to develop, and if he gets a chance to play a small sample size, you know and I know, Gabe, and all your listeners know very well, that there will be a team that will be desperate enough to say, hey, you know what? Maybe this kid could be a starting quarterback at the NFL level. Let's trade Bill Belichick, whatever, two or three, whatever it might be at that point, to get a Zappe to be on board. So this definitely has a developmental project on it. Let's not forget, Gabe, let's go back 10 years ago when RG3 was taken by the Washington Football Commanders at the time. Who was taken in the fourth round? Kirk Cousins. So this isn't unorthodox, but I think now for Mac Jones, he definitely will have competition to work with in the locker room and on the football field on proving that he should be the number one guy going towards week one.
Mo Khan, kick it with us. And just to backtrack, I like the Shakir pick as well for the Buffalo Bills. And one thing I'm surprised about, and shout out to Johnny in our chat, who's right, I wanted to bring it up actually, that the Buffalo Bills get one of the best punters in the history of college football, Mo, from San Diego State.
Yeah.
In Arazia. And, man, this guy, he flips the field, bro. He's like Ray Guy. He's got, like, the hang time. He can pin it. He can kick it anywhere and stuff. I was actually surprised that other kickers and other punters went before he did. I think the Bills got a steal here in the sixth round.
The thing with him is his hang time. And Daniel Jeremiah made the point on the NFL Network is that he definitely has a leg. But the reality is that the hang time isn't where it's supposed to be. And, you know, Gabe, in Orchard Park, the wind swirls. So can he master the ecosystem in Buffalo?
From San Diego to – it's a different element. You're right. But he is good. He's almost like a golfer. He can drop it in, like a lot of kickers. And also, he's got a weird rotation on the ball as well, right? That's another thing. He's got a weird rotation on the ball. But he can, he can chip it anywhere, basically, this dude. But it's a good point. Completely different elements going from San Diego State into Buffalo right now.
Yeah, and so that's why it would be fascinating to see how he's able to adapt to that ecosystem of Buffalo. And as we witnessed this year, right, towards the end of the year, when the Buffalo Bills played the Patriots on Monday Night Football, how awful the winds were that day. Can he be able to put it down the fairway to win those field position battles for this Buffalo Bills team, which on paper right now could be the favorite to win the AFC this year?
I tell you, there were a couple of really bad punts too against the Chiefs, if you remember. It's like that. Basically, they're like the Bills are trying to. The Bills are all in. They're trying to eliminate any weakness, and they're all in right now. But as I stated, they've spent so much money. I like the Daxton Hill pick. Cincinnati getting Daxton Hill was a nice pick. Like we were just talking about, you know, another one that surprised me here was the Cade York pick. Like, you know, in like the fourth round, if you're the Cleveland Browns, I thought that was a little bit of a reach right there.
Yeah, and York, I believe, went before the kid from San Diego State in the draft, right? And people were quite surprised, but the thing
is... Yeah, fourth round and sixth round, like 124th overall is pretty high right there to be taking a kicker.
Yeah, and the thing is, the Browns, I believe, had one of the worst punting scenario, the situations with their team last year, and they believe that this York kid can definitely solve those issues. And again, it goes back to that point, right? You play off the Great Lakes in Ohio. Can he master those wins in Cleveland? Because if he can do that, it will give the Browns an extra 15 yards to work against teams in that field position battle. So I just think that was definitely fascinating. But if you believe that the punter can do it, and let's not forget, Gabe, right? 22 years ago, the late Al Davis to Shane Leckler and Sebastian Janikowski, early in that 2000 draft, both those guys proved Davis correct in the whole process here. So if you can find that punter that can change the game around, you go for it, no matter if it's the fourth round or fifth round of a draft.
Mo, another interesting development with a football team, and I was just there, obviously, with the Raiders. The Raiders, I think, are a lot better than people realize, and they're kind of an afterthought in this division here right now. But you know, look at what they did at the running back position here. So they declined Jacobs' fifth year option. So they draft the kid Brown out of UCLA. They're kind of like rolling the dice here with these dudes. But they also bring in Zamir White from Georgia. So we've got a situation developing here with Jacobs. He's not going to be a happy camper, bro, rolling into this situation like this.
No, and you look at their running back. Right now, I think they have like five or six going to training camp in late July. And you're seeing the influence of the Patriot way being brought to Vegas, and that they don't believe that Josh Jacobs is worth the value.
That's a good point, the McDaniels thing. Hey, no, we're just going to get a bunch of running backs late.
Exactly. So long story short here, Jacobs has not been reliable because he's always been hurt, even when he does play on the football field. And I think they see that right now. Look, you can get yourself maybe three guys at that total value that can definitely be fresher and give us different elements of style to work with on the football field.
Isaiah Spiller to the Chargers. I think that was a good pick, too. Getting him, like I said, they got him like the spot before. They were just talking about where the kicker went to Cleveland. All right, more with Mo Khan on the other side. The late night anger management class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Do you have a gambling problem?
No, I enjoy it. It's a hobby.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Mo Conkey with his Ian Cameron will step up and in and join us as we've just gotten off a plane once again, literally and figuratively. Last week, Mo... Like, the show starts at 9 o'clock Pacific, and right. Last week, I was still in an airport at, like, 7:40 type thing, right? Like, and I was waiting for the baggage and the carousel. Everything was just slow, and I was like, oh, man, this is, like, we're cutting this pretty close. I was one of those, like, so today, actually... And by my standards, it was, you know what I mean? I had like 4 or 5 hour gap this time. My flight was supposed to leave at 1:30, and I was supposed to land at like 4 o'clock type thing. It's like 2.5 hours only, like, or not even. It's like 2 hours and 17 minutes in the air. So I was supposed to, you know what I mean? The getting in and out and et cetera. But like, I hate this. Like, I got on the plane, and we never took off, Mo. It was an hour and 45 minutes. Like, we just sat there. And Buddy said, and the plane was running too. So I was always thinking, oh, are we going to go now? And we're sitting there, and he goes, yeah, we don't have clearance. And he goes, they're understaffed today and COVID and blah, blah. He's like, sorry. He goes, we know. And then he didn't say it's going to be a while, but he goes, he sort of said, why don't you just settle in? He sort of said something like that. And I'm like, oh, this isn't good. And I fell asleep. And I was so mad because, like, I usually can't sleep on planes, Mo, and the flight's only like 2.5 hours. So I actually fell asleep for like an hour and a half. And I wake up and I actually, like, look out the window and I'm like, are we flying? And then I realize we're not. And that's when I was like, you got to be kidding me, man. I was like, I just slept for like an hour and a half, and now I'm awake, and we haven't even left yet. And I look out the window, and they're bringing the baggage over now only. And then I was like, oh, my God. So what turned into what was supposed to just be a nice, smooth operation, Mo, this week I'm at the stupid airport at 6:40. So it wasn't much better. Like, it turned into basically the same thing. Like, I wasn't rushing, like, in a panic, but I was basically going, oh, this sucks. Basically, like, I'm getting off a plane, into a taxi, off the taxi, and we got to start the show. Like I said, not to pat myself on the back, but I'm going to pat myself on the back. Not a lot of hosts will be able to do this, right? Or would do it. But we're doing it nevertheless. So... let's get into the quarterbacks a little bit, because we can go on and on as far as, you know, all these different players. There was a great tweet. I retweeted it. Somebody had it out there. And, like, it was Desmond Ridder says he's going to win a Super Bowl for Atlanta. And there was a picture of him, and he does. He looks like he's, like, 52 years old already, this guy. Like, man, like, he looked, like, the picture of him was gold. So, Kenny, let's talk about the quarterbacks. Kenny Pickett goes 20th overall to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We told everybody he'd be the first quarterback taken, and he was. Desmond Ridder, I was wrong about. I thought Desmond Ridder would go higher than he did. But the great pick by the Atlanta Falcons, I think, getting Ridder with the 74th pick. Malik Willis goes to Tennessee at 86. Matt Corral goes to Carolina at 94. Bailey Zappe goes to the Patriots at 137. Sam Howell goes to Washington, 144. What do you make of these quarterbacks, and who do you think has the best chance to succeed? Who landed in the best spot?
I think Kenny Pickett landed in the best spot because of the organization stability in Pittsburgh. You look at other teams, Sam Howell in Washington, not stable enough. Desmond Ridder is going to the Falcons, that is full of holes right now on both sides of the football, but Arthur Smith can definitely mold him into becoming, hopefully for himself, a solid NFL starting quarterback. What I'm intrigued by is Malik Willis, because if you look at Tennessee now, Gabe, right? This is a team that choked their way in the loss to the Bengals back in January for what they couldn't do at the quarterback position. Ryan Tannehill is probably entering the last year of his deal of being a Tennessee Titan before they move on to Malik Willis. The question now is for Mike Vrabel. You don't have A.J. Brown there anymore, so how are you going to go about with your offense? Will this be run heavy as it was with Derrick Henry, who was banged up last year, or you keep with the quarterback development of Malik Willis? So I'm quite fascinated to see if Willis can supplant Tannehill at training camp, because again, Tannehill did not have a good playoff run. So I just think there's a lot of question marks about that. I think Matt Corral going to the Panthers, look, we know that Matt Rhule is on the hot seat, and that situation might blow up in the Panthers' face again, because this could be a situation where Matt Corral does not get developed or gets the proper mentoring that he requires to become an NFL quarterback, and that might stunt his growth. So I think right now, Kenny Pickett is probably in the best situation to be where he's at and eventually be the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, whether it's going to be now or next year.
I can't agree more. You know, the best situation, obviously, landing with Mike Tomlin, landing with the Steeler organization. They know him well personally. They share the facility. He plays there. So, you know, I mean, they've been watching him play for years, and they know that they could plug him in to be the starter for the next 5-7 years, or hopefully maybe more. And, you know, we'll find out about this hand size stuff, but he's playing in the same damn stadium that he played in. So I'm going to tell you, well, about the weather and all, you know, this and that. But, you know, people like him. People like Kenny Pickett. People talked about this quarterback class not being great. But, you know, all year long, people love Kenny Pickett, and he didn't do anything wrong. And then just sort of the smear campaign started. But this is, we talk about it, guys. Oftentimes, you're better off going later if you're a quarterback, because he will land in a better situation, right? So he lands in the ideal situation. I think Desmond Ritter's in a perfect situation as well. And I like Ritter, too. I like his arm strength. He's a little sort of robotic in the pocket and stuff, but he's a big dude at 6'4", 215 pounds. He's a confident guy, and he can get rid of the football. He's got a zip to the ball when he throws it. Like, there's, he can throw a fastball, so I think he does have like an NFL arm. I like the Ritter pick a lot, and Mariota's a perfect guy to play in front of him, and then boom, Ritter takes over, and they've got a quarterback in the future. Malik Willis, you know what is interesting to me, that the Falcons, Mo, decided to go with Desmond Ridder instead of Malik Willis, despite the fact that Malik Willis is actually from Atlanta.
Yeah, and I think what it came down to for Malik Willis, and I feel bad for him, because I think he got some bad information about where he was going to be projected. Because remember, we spoke about it last week, right? We were saying, could he go to Detroit at number two? And he ends up falling all the way down on day two of the draft. And I think now for Malik Willis, for where he's at positionally-wise here in Tennessee, can he learn from Ryan Tannehill? And I think this is a good spot for him, because there's no pressure on him to become the face of the franchise until probably next year. So for him to go to Tennessee, if he does play this year, all he has to do is hand off the ball to Derrick Henry and continue to grow and work on his weaknesses, because, again, his throwing acumen is okay. It's not as deep as it should be. And I think he has to get better at that to be much more accurate than where he was at Liberty last year. So I think for him, also, another point to look at, he ran a pretty simple offense. Can he now become a guy that can make the audibles at the line of scrimmage, because he sees something out there that says, you know what, this may not be the right play. Let's kill it and go to the next play here. So there's going to be a lot more of the tutoring, the mentoring done by Ryan Tannehill and by this Tennessee team with Willis. But if he can develop in that situation, perhaps he'd become the starting quarterback next year.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They have an out, right, with Tannehill. They have an out. The Tennessee Titans have an out after this year. Right. And he makes a lot of money. And as you stated, I think they've kind of peaked with him right now and with this team. Like the Tennessee Titans, they're sending a message. Look, they didn't want to pay A.J. Brown, right? They're definitely retooling and rebuilding. I think it's going to be a down year. And like you said, Tannehill knows this is his last year with Tennessee, but he'll be motivated to play well so he makes money elsewhere. And It'll be interesting with Malik Willis, but he's another kid here that's been given an opportunity, Mo, right? He's drafted to a team that with a quarterback that they're not going to re-sign. So he has a year to learn, and then next year he's on the clock, and we'll see if he can get it done. But I think a full year around NFL practices and the speed of the game will really help Malik Willis, because he is very raw, like his decision making, like he didn't play against the best competition. So when he did, he got confused at times, which doesn't mean that he always will be. He just needs more playing time against elite competition. I like the Matt Corral pick. You know, I don't have a problem with where they took him. He's one of these guys. You take a chance on him. There are concerns. All right, is he the most accurate passer? No. But he can sling it. He can, like, throw it anywhere. But and as far as accuracy is concerned, whatever, dude. NFL wide receivers can go up and get anything, right? So for me, it's his health. But can he get through the grind of an NFL season where he's getting knocked around? But I gotta tell you, Mo, if you look at the schedule that this kid played last year, he's not gonna get knocked around much harder in the NFL than he did like in the SEC. There was a month. It was like they literally played Alabama, Texas A&M, LSU, Tennessee. Like it was just like. Five or Arkansas. It was like this 5-6 week in a row thing. And I brought it up the other night, Mo. Lane Kiffin's kind of to blame for this because he ran Corral into the ground, bro, in that Tennessee game. Corral threw the football 38 times, and I think he ran the ball 34 times, bro, or whatever it was. Like, it was too much. It was just too much. Like, he literally got hit like 60 freaking times, man. And he wasn't the same after. Like, the offense, like, if you look at Mississippi's numbers last year, guys, right around the halfway point of the season, they hit a wall. And it was because they got Corral murdered, and they got him hit too much. And that's on Kiffin, because Kiffin's trying to win football games, and he's not concerned about Corral's health, really. And Corral, Matt, one thing that you know, Mo, though, about Corral is he will try to suck it up and play through pain. And he has, he did, and he played in that bowl game, and he got hurt again. So,
yeah.
He's a gamer. That's the one thing I like about him, Mo. He's a competitor. And, yeah, he's cocky and stuff, but he wants to win football games. Like, and he'll play through pain.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of whip in his throws. And there's throws that he can make from the pocket. And again, the questions that I have for the Panthers, that Matt Rhule, will he be the head coach of this team in 23? You bring in Ben McAdoo, who didn't really do well as a quarterback guru in New York as the head coach. So can you entrust him to develop Matt Corral to be the face of this franchise? Because, again, this organization has been searching high and low for that franchise guy. And you wonder if they're going to thrust Matt Corral in at the quarterback position, because Sam Darnold looked great for 2 weeks and then flamed out last year. So do you want to ruin this kid's confidence? Because, again, this team, again, for the Panthers, is not strong enough yet on the O-line to protect him and keep this gem among the crown jewels upright throughout the course of a 17-game schedule that it will be for the Panthers this year.
Mo Khan with us. All right, Mo, before we get you out of here, NBA, Philadelphia 76ers in the Heat tomorrow. How do you think they do without Joel Embiid?
This might be a riot for the Heat tomorrow night. I just think that the Heat look like they are focused and what they were. I wasn't buying into the Miami Heat at all, as you know, a few weeks ago when we spoke about the Miami Heat. But with no Joel Embiid in the lineup here, that puts more onus on the guard play of the Sixers. Can they get value from their backcourt to carry?
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Carry the load going against a very good defensive-minded Miami Heat team.
Always a pleasure, Mo. Great insight as always. Follow Mo Khan on Twitter. What is it? MoKhan19. MoKhan19.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, MoKhan19.
Sure.
MoKhan19. Always a pleasure, Mo. Thanks for the time, my man.
Thank you, my man. Have a good week, pal.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Morency. Just unpacking the NFL draft. Great stuff with Mo Khan. I like what the Philadelphia Eagles did. I think the Eagles, and not just, you know, in the draft, but the Eagles had a good week, right? They get A.J. Brown. They had a very strong draft, I think. They just added some strong pieces. I like what this team is doing. I like the future, the direction the Philadelphia Eagles are going in right now. I do believe in Sirianni as a coach. I liked what I saw from Sirianni last year, in which he adapted. Right, a lot of new coaches will come into the league and as their first year, and they're going to be, it's my way, and this is my, I'm the head coach, and this is my playbook. And they couldn't run the playbook, right? Sirianni's playbook was pretty advanced, right? And that's not a slight on Jalen Hurts or on the Eagles. It's not easy, like learning a new system. And Jalen Hurts had a problem. Like, the Eagles, everyone had a problem picking the system up. Like, do you remember earlier in the year, like, everyone was getting mad and flipping out because the Eagles were never running the ball? And then they started running the ball. They only really started running the ball because he clued in. Sirianni realized that, you know what, they can't run the plays I want them to run. It's just not working. So it's not working. So you know what? Let's run the ball. And let's just play to Jalen's strength instead of forcing him into my book here. I'm gonna adapt to my quarterback. I'm not gonna force him to adapt and make him look bad and throw him under the bus, right? Seriously, you see that all the time, guys, right? You know what? You know the Giants were big on that with Danny Jones. Instead of playing to his strengths, they just tell him do this. It's like, no, play to his strengths, dumbass. Brian Daboll can do that. Late Night Anger Management Class, bring it.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.